Second-hand goods schemes exist for traders who typically buy goods to sell from unregistered people, in other words, the public. They are therefore not charged input tax on their purchases. Now, if such traders charged output tax on the wholesale price, then the VAT that they would charge would be disproportionately large. Normal traders pay VAT on purchases, charge VAT on sales, but because of offset of input tax against output tax, they effectively are only accounting for VAT on the gross profits they have made. Let us have a look at an example. We have a second-hand car dealer who buys a car from Fred, who is a member of the public, for £800. He then effectively sells the car 2 weeks later to Pete for £1,500. Now, if VAT was charged in the normal way, we would have 17.5% of the sale price, £1,500, giving us £262.50. But of course, a second-hand car dealer has no input VAT because he purchased the car from a member of the public. So instead, under the second-hand goods scheme, we only charge VAT on the profit, on the margin. So, in other words, the difference between sale price, £1,500, and cost, £800, is the profit element. This £700 of profit is treated as VAT inclusive. So we apply our 7 over 47 calculation to give us £104.25 of output VAT to account for on the car sale. The second-hand goods scheme involves calculating a profit made on each item that is bought or sold. This profit is called the margin, and the margin is effectively the difference between the price paid and the sale proceeds. Under the scheme, the profit margin is VAT inclusive, so when multiplied by 7 over 47 would give us the output VAT due on the individual sale. If the sale is made at a loss, in other words there is no profit margin, then there is no VAT due. If the trader has incurred any costs, for example repairing or improving the item before it is sold, these costs are not taken into account when calculating the profit margin. However, once all the output tax is calculated, any input tax incurred, for example, on these costs and other items, well, that input tax can be deducted from the output tax in the normal way. Sales under the scheme are not accompanied by a normal VAT invoice, so a VAT invoice is not issued. This means that any purchasers cannot reclaim any of the VAT charged. If a purchaser wants a VAT invoice and wants to recover any VAT charged, then the item must be accounted for outside of the scheme in the normal way. Taking items out of the scheme is allowed. So, if a VAT registered trader buys something for his business from a second-hand dealer, then that item must be taken out of the scheme by the dealer, and VAT must be charged in the normal way. Have a go at a question. Joni sells antique furniture. She bought a Victorian dresser for £300 in June, and then spent £150 plus VAT on restoration work. She then sold the dresser for £800 in July. Joni is preparing her VAT return for the quarter to the 31st of July. You are asked to calculate the output tax or input tax as appropriate, which needs to be entered on Joni's VAT return in respect of the dresser. Fill in, to the nearest pound, the output tax and the input tax in the appropriate boxes. When you want to see the answer, just click on the button below. Correct. Have a look at the answer now. Incorrect. Why don't you try again or have a look at the model answer? No, I am sorry, that is not correct. Let's have a look at the answer to see where you went wrong. Well, the output tax basically is the tax included in the margin. She sold the dresser for £800. It cost £300, so there is a £500 pure profit on the dresser. £500 at 7 over 47 gives us just over £74 of output tax. When it comes to input tax, well, she paid £150 plus VAT on restoration, so she was charged just over £26 of input tax, and this can be deducted from output tax in the normal way on the VAT return. There are certain items that a second-hand dealer must exclude when using the second-hand goods scheme. These exclusions include items on which VAT was charged by the person who sold the goods to the second-hand dealer. Remember, the second-hand goods scheme only applies to goods that are purchased without payment of VAT, so from members of the public, etc. Also excluded from the scheme are items on which the customer can recover VAT. So in other words, we are looking at a VAT-registered customer, and such a customer is going to ask for a VAT invoice. In a situation like this, the item must be taken out of the scheme and VAT accounted for in the normal way on the wholesale price. There is a myriad of record-keeping requirements that goes with the second-hand goods scheme. Firstly, purchase records are required. Now, these will have to identify each acquisition of stock and the price paid for that item. Also required are stock records. These will identify movements in and out of stock, recording prices paid and received. As part of the record-keeping requirements, sales records are also needed, which will identify all sales with purchases and the stock records. So hence, they all tie in together with each other. If a second-hand dealer's business is transferred as a going concern, then the purchaser is also entitled to use the second-hand goods scheme for sales. However, when operating the second-hand goods scheme, the purchase price used by the new owner of the business must be the price paid by the previous owner of the business for those goods. Any value assigned to these goods as part of the transfer of the going concern is basically irrelevant. It is just ignored. So, effectively, you are treating the business as if it never changed hands. The same purchase prices will attach themselves to those second-hand goods. The problem with the second-hand goods scheme is that details of each individual item purchased and then later sold has to be recorded, which, of course, can lead to a lot of paperwork and an awful lot of administration, which, obviously, many traders are not too keen to comply with. Thus, there is an adaptation to the second-hand goods scheme called global accounting. This is intended to be used where a business sells lots and lots of items, but probably at a low value. And the magnitude of sales is such that if we had to track each individual item, that would be rather impractical. Global accounting is sort of the next step to the basic scheme because it allows output tax to be calculated on a much larger margin, an overall margin for a period of time. In other words, for an accounting period. The margin is calculated as the difference between sale proceeds of all the items sold in the period less purchase cost of all the goods purchased in the period. So, instead of just looking at each individual item, sale price less cost, we do the same calculation but for the whole range of items, total sale proceeds minus total cost, in a certain period of time. There are two major differences in respect of the global accounting scheme when compared to the regular, the normal, second-hand goods scheme. The first difference is that basically, losses on an item are automatically offset against profits on items. So, losses and profits are offset together in the period. There is also a timing advantage with global accounting because all purchases made in the period are included, even if those goods are not actually sold in the same period. In fact, sometimes you can have a situation where a period's purchases are actually larger than the sales, so there is a negative difference, and this difference is carried forward and treated as a purchase in the next return period. There are various exclusions from global accounting. Let us look at an example of how global accounting works in practice. Julian sells used stamps. In the quarter to the 30th of June, he buys 6 English stamps for £300 each, and 1 German stamp for £550. Let us look at an example of how global accounting works in practice. Julian sells used stamps. In the quarter to the 30th of June, he buys 6 English stamps for £300 each, and 1 German stamp for £550. He sells 2 of the English stamps for £600 each, and he sells the German stamp for £750. He operates global accounting. Before we can look at the answer, we have to look at which stamps fall into global accounting. Any purchase in excess of £500 is not in global accounting. So the German stamp cannot be accounted for in the scheme. It can, however, be accounted for in the regular second-hand goods scheme, which is, I think, what we will do in this example. So, for normal global accounting, we look at all the purchases. So the 6 English stamps at £300 make a total of £1,800, and all the sales. We sold 2 of those English stamps for £600 each, making a total of £1,200. This is the situation where purchases exceed sales, so we have a negative £600 balance, hence no output tax to account for on the global accounting scheme this quarter, but a £600 purchase to start off the next quarter. We now have to deal with the German stamp, and this can come under the normal second-hand goods scheme. The margin of £750 sale minus £550 cost at 7 over 47 gives us £30. This £30 is output tax to be shown on the quarter's return to the 30th of June. And now it is time for you to have a go at a question. Following on from the previous example, in Julian's next quarter to the 30th of September, he buys 4 more English stamps at £400 each. He sells the remaining stamps that he purchased in the last quarter for £600 each. You are required to calculate the output tax for this quarter. Click on the answer once you... On the correct answer, A, B or C, once you have had a go at the question. The correct answer is £29.79. So how did we get to this answer? We look at all the purchases, both in the period and also, do not forget, that £600 balance of purchases that we have got to bring forward from the last quarter into this quarter. Our brought forward £600 starts the calculation, plus 4 stamps purchased at £400 each, making £1,600, gives us a £2,200 of purchases for the period. We then match this to sales. The question says that we sell the remaining stamps purchased in the last quarter. We purchased 6 English stamps and a German stamp in the last quarter. And in the last quarter, we sold 2 English stamps and a German stamp. There is therefore only 4 English stamps left, so we must have sold those at £600 each, £2,400 of sale proceeds. Take off the £2,200 of purchases, and there is a margin of £200 for this quarter. If I apply 7 over 47 to my margin, I get £29.79 of output tax to put on this quarter's VAT return. Auctioneers of second-hand goods are allowed to operate a margin scheme to simplify their VAT accounting. However, they are only allowed to do this if the transaction takes place between 2 unregistered parties, and so both the seller and the buyer are unregistered for VAT. In that case, neither would be entitled to recover input VAT. Auctioneers typically charge a commission to the purchaser, which is called the buyer's premium, as well as charging commission to the vendor, the seller. Under the normal rules of VAT, the auctioneer has to charge VAT separately to the vendor and to the buyer, and VAT is charged on these commissions. However, we have to take care with these commissions because they affect the calculation of the margin under the second-hand goods scheme. So, we have to remember that when working out cost, we deduct selling commission from the hammer price being whatever it was sold at in the auction. When working out the sale proceeds, we have to add the buyer's premium to the hammer price. With this adjusted cost and this adjusted sale proceeds, we will then have our margin on which the second-hand goods scheme operates in the normal way. That is the end of the lecture on second-hand goods scheme.